you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with someone whose name is very familiar to me. I feel like I've seen your name and heard of you and seen you on show posters and things for years now. And this is our first time actually talking, so I'm glad we can make this happen. I think that the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what it is you do as an artist.
Yeah, for sure. So my artist name is B-Tox. Beatboxer, it's in the name. Producer, songwriter, rapper, singer, vocalist. And yeah, I've been making music for maybe about 10-15 years, and the B-Tox sort of moniker came about maybe about 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
And yeah,
cool. Well, I'm sure this is something you get asked a lot. I mean, there's obviously new stuff that's happening with your music that we're gonna get into, but I'm sure you get asked this all the time. But the beatboxing thing, I feel like everyone thinks they could do it because everyone can make noises with their mouth, but then most people, when they attempt it, they fail miserably. So, like, what goes into it to make it actually sound good? Because you obviously have experience doing this for quite a while, and you've developed your own sound and everything with it. But I think because it's just, mouth noises, people, I think, assume it's a lot less complicated than it is.
For sure. I mean, I will say anyone can do it, and that's what's so great and special about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, to get, like, I think really good and be able to perform it, one of the steps I say to, like, students when I'm teaching is consistency and, like, sound consistency. So a lot of people come up and say, hey, I can beatbox and do their thing, but they sort of have a lot of momentum, a lot of, like, breath, and then they start to kind of fizzle out.
Right.
And then the big breath to, like, reset. And, you know, if any instrument, if you're playing guitar for 15 seconds and then fade out and then have to reset, like, it's not consistent. So I think the big key thing is being able to, like, practice consistency. A bit of circular breathing kind of goes into it, or finding the sounds that you can do. Inhales are very important,
right?
So it's being able to, like, maintain that even performance for minutes to potentially hours straight if you need to.
So is it, I mean, this is probably a stupid question, but the circular breathing thing, is it like vaguely related to playing bagpipes?
It might be. I don't play bagpipes.
Either way, but I understand that bagpipes involve circular breathing. So I just, it seems like it might be the same kind of thing, because that's just kind of a constant noise, right? Like, happening with that thing. I definitely am not an expert on the bagpipes, but.
Yeah, like, I find, so I could even show you for a second.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
So I try to encourage people to, like, just breathe and, like, through the nose and then making a sound with their mouth. So, like, the first thing is, like, a kick. So, like.
So I didn't consider how shitty Zoom is at handling non-speech sounds. It blocks them out unless you change a setting. So his entire beatboxing example here ended up just being silence.
And just even those two sounds, yeah, I can do forever, because I'm just focusing on inhaling through the nose and creating that separation between the mouth. So, like, breathing in and out through your nose while your mouth is open. Maybe that's circular breathing, I'm not sure, but I'm able to make sounds while breathing.
Yeah.
Which I think is part of circular breathing. There might be more techniques to it, nuances with bagpipes and stuff, but that's how I've been teaching.
Yeah, it's a weird question about the bagpipes, but yeah, that's the only other time I've heard circular breathing used in a musical context, but I'm sure there's other instruments where that's part of it as well. But I guess, like, how did you get involved in this? Because, again, like you said, I mean, anyone can do it, right? It's something that you don't need to be picking up an instrument and playing. You figured out how to make these sounds vocally. What got you into that?
So, I mean, as a kid, I've always like acted and performed and made sounds. And I think in like kind of like late junior high, early high school, I heard beatboxing on the radio. So yeah. Like Justin Timberlake and, you know, Drop It Like It's Hot and stuff. And I think I'm good at emulating sounds, and I just heard it, absorbed it, could do it. And I was like, oh, this is music. Okay, cool. Now I can make music with my mouth.
Right.
That's awesome. And then I think it became a bit more, it went from that to then like at parties, a lot of like rap circles would sort of form and people wanting to freestyle and someone needing a beat.
Yeah.
So it just became, I became a guy that would drop the beat. And then from there, I don't know if you know the name Butter Pretzels, but
it sounds familiar. Actually, yeah, I think I don't. I definitely don't. I'm hearing the name. I don't know what it sounds like at all, but the name is vaguely familiar.
So it was me and another guy who now goes by Smart Death.
Okay, that guy's very successful at his thing. Yeah,
yeah. No, he's a great artist. And before we did more like kind of stoner rap, and you know, just guys in, you know, late high school, early university. And so I was sort of the beatboxer. He was the lyricist. And we had another few friends who were producers. And I was sort of beatboxing. And then that led to then, oh, like, we can record this. Oh, I want to write too. And it just sort of evolved from there. And I realized that, yeah, beatboxing was more than just making sounds in a party gimmick. It's like, hey, this could actually be a foundation for a beat, foundation for a performance, foundation for songwriting.
Yeah.
And it just really... it's like really just taken a life of its own in the last like 8 to 10 years.
That's cool. Yeah. So how do you get then from that? I mean, even from, you know, getting more involved and doing it with other artists, and how does that become then a solo project where with beatboxing kind of anchoring the whole thing? Because that's a big step, right? That's a big step from backing someone else up to then this is your thing, which has been fleshed out with everything else.
Well, so with me and Mike, we like both were writers eventually, and beatboxing actually got lowered.
Okay.
And I lost the beatboxing. We just both became vocalists. And then and then when we went our own ways, I was sort of wound up learning how to record at UMFM. And just sort of like by myself making beats with beatboxing, and I was trying to think of a new name and a new branding, and was like, oh, Beatox is like, people know me as a beatboxer. Maybe I'll kind of reclaim that. And like,
yeah.
That's like where all the like fun and hot, like all the curiosity and the great energy comes from. It really comes from beatboxing and like that inner child and that voice. So that started in maybe 2015, maybe even earlier, 2013. You know Hoopaloop. So
yeah, he's been on my show.
Yeah. So Ron sort of caught wind of, I beatbox at his like home studio like around that time, and he was like, "Man, this is sick!" And just his reaction, I was like, "Huh." Where this is really, really dope. And he was like, you should come back more. And so we ended up like starting Trendkill Productions together. And like, yeah, I don't know. It just became this vessel of music. And that went from like, just like learning how to record with it and writing. It was sort of a means of writing lyrics too, like beats and then lyrics.
Yeah.
And then I got sort of into the jazz musicians circle. They saw a show of mine and they're like, hey, we would love to like back you. And I'm like, okay, what does that look like and how does that sound? And this is with like Jesse Popesky, Sean Burke, Carter Graham, Ben Kidd, or Kevin Waters was on the record as well, and Joanna Majoko, like all these like really great jazz players.
Yeah, yeah.
And here I am just like a beatboxing lyricist guy, just no music theory, just I knew how to record and I knew how to edit and mix like on a super basic level with Ron. Like we were just sort of like learning together, but we had the means of recording. And it just sort of evolved from there. And that's like, I think, where my sound has kind of evolved since then. I've been feeling way down from depression waves.
Hold up, be reminded. When things do get tough, I know we seem all blinded. With a little meditation, realigning. Guarantee you find it. Come on, get behind it. Hold up, be reminded. When things do get tough, I know we seem all blinded. With a little meditation, realigning. Guarantee you find it. Come on, get behind it. Yeah, it's been a long time. I hasn't hit the road, see how far that I could go. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. I hasn't hit the road, see how far that I could go. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a hold up, be reminded. When things do get tough, I know we seem all blinded. With a little meditation, realigning. Guarantee you find it. Come on, get behind it. Hold up, be reminded. When things do get tough, I know we seem all blinded. With a little meditation, realigning. Guarantee you find it. Come on, get behind it. I know that it's been a hard day, but you can still grow even in a dark place. And I know that it's been a hard day, but we can still glow even in a dark place. Yeah, it's been a long time. See how far that I could go. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. I hasn't hit the road. See how far that I could go. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. I hasn't hit the road. See how far that I could go. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Well, the jazz thing is super interesting because I think that, on one hand, you don't have the music theory, and these are all people who I'm sure have very, very extensive knowledge of music theory, obviously, right? Because, I mean, the names that I recognize from there anyway are great players. So, but beatboxing and what you're doing, I mean, that improvisational part of it seems like it would fit with jazz quite well because you are sort of going with the flow of what everyone else is doing and providing this improvised beat with your mouth.
Yeah, it totally works. And it weirdly works. It allows me to beatbox with freedom and like learn from them and understand more about rhythm and musicality. And then I can like trust them and pass that off and then say, hey, this is the beat. You guys go with it. Okay, now I'm going to do lyrics and vocals on top and like create songs. And like, it's been a beautiful like connection, and it allowed me to go even further, like beyond just Winnipeg. Like I met a woman from Slovenia who was studying drums, and I wound up in Slovenia and Croatia and Austria, like with this music. They were like, hey, we're studying jazz, we would like to play these songs. So I made a record and I've made three or four albums, but at the time it was the first like full length like with jazz players. Just like all of a sudden I wound up like in the middle of nowhere in Slovenia. Like I had no idea where that was, basically through beatboxing and, you know, and rapping and writing songs.
That's awesome.
But it was, it was a really special experience. And I think one thing I've realized that's special about beatboxing is like, it's just like, it's music. It's not a language, like it's not English, let's say, like that kind of puts a limit, but beatboxing, anyone can like listen and anyone can learn and do. So I feel like that has been like a really cool thing that really allowed me to like go some cool places and learn how to like integrate other musicians in this jazzy way.
Yeah, that's I would not have expected that beatboxing would be something that you can do that with. And I mean, not just the jazz thing, which on its own I don't think I would have expected the two to mesh so well. But the world travel is kind of a nice added bonus to that as well. So do you think of yourself at this point as a jazz artist, or at least a jazz adjacent artist? Like, what do you call yourself if you had to fit into a style? I don't know, no one wants to do that anymore, yeah. Especially because there's so many subgenres and, you know, all this. But like, how do you place yourself if you had to put your album in a record store? Where to go?
Yeah, it's a tough place to put it. I sort of say myself as like being similar to other artists like Loyal Carner or Amish. So it's like groovy, it's jazzy, it's got nuances of hip hop, it's got a chill essence. So yeah, it's jazz adjacent for sure. I'd like, when I'm producing music, I'm usually either recording jazz players or like sampling jazz players, like jazz sound. So, and like that neo soul-y, like soulful lush, that kind of sound, definitely. So that's how I sort of, it's hard. I'm like deep in the marketing world and I'm like, where am I? What playlist am I pitching to?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What hashtags and this and that. So, I draw on a lot of different types of inspiration, but it's definitely more jazzy, groovy, hip hop leaning for sure.
Has the exposure to all these jazz players and sort of going in that direction, has that affected sort of the sounds that you are using with your beatboxing? Have you sort of tried to bring on more? I mean, because you're hearing horns, you're hearing pianos, you're hearing everything else that maybe wasn't part of sort of the initial hip hop beatboxing, other than samples, right? But I mean, you're hearing these people playing it right in front of you. Has that influenced you as well in terms of like what sounds you're creating?
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure. I'm like a sponge, you know.
Right.
It's like I'm just constantly absorbing what is being thrown at me, and I record a lot, so I'll like record our rehearsals, record these jams, record these sessions, and just sort of hone in and be like, wow, what is Sean playing on bass there? Like, what a great line! And wow, what are these drums doing? And like, so it's for sure like influencing my rhythm and my approach to beats and like my internal rhythm that's happening. For sure. And I also try to listen to other styles too, like just a bit more like, you know, whatever, like more moderny stuff. I can still like tap into that, but I like, yeah, I like more intricate beatboxing patterns and stuff. So it's definitely the jazz and the stuff I listen to for sure is a huge impact.
Cool.
And I'm also, there's like new technology that's come out in the last few years where I'm able to now trigger electronic drums. And so there's this interesting thing that's happened in the last 3 or 4 years where I can now express myself musically, you know, with my own patterns. So like, but I can now, instead of doing I can trigger any type of drum kit with this like microphone technology.
Oh, cool.
That's called a doubler. And all of a sudden now I'm like, huh, now I can be an electronic producer with my mouth. I can be a rock kit with my mouth. There's a lot of like new experiences that I'm going through with like music production and technology and finding my sound and what is that sound.
Yeah, so, that's super cool.
I guess it makes sense,
right? I mean, like every other instrument you can plug in and then put a bunch of pedals on it and effects and loopers and things like that. Of course that works with vocals. It makes complete sense. So as far as performing live though, I mean, I guess you're playing the Jazz Winnipeg Festival, which is sort of the timing on this one is good because this is imminent. You're going to be playing a show very soon. What does your live show look like? I mean, obviously, in some cases you're playing with other musicians. It obviously seems like something you can do solo as well. What does a typical live show for you look like? Is it sort of depending on the context and who's there and all that?
Yeah, it's changed so much over the years. Like I've literally done everything you've listed. So I've done live looping by myself solo at a spoken word thing.
Yeah.
I have enjoyed live looping beatboxing. There was like a period in my life where I was doing that a lot. I like just got a looper and was like, this has to be on everything. So I think that's an answer of its own. It's like, it's contextual to like the tech that I'm messing around with. So if I've got a looper, I'll do some looper shows.
Right.
I got this like that microphone I was telling you about where I can trigger beats. I'll throw that in a concert. If I have access to like some amazing musicians, I would love to get them involved if the budget allows it. So when I like pitch to like shows and festivals and stuff, it's like, what do you want? Do you want solo, duo, quartet, quintet, septet? I can bring it together and make it work. So long answer short, a jazz fest, it's a bigger show, so you may expect drums, keys, yeah. guitar, bass. I'm finally getting sax involved, which cool. is something I've tried to figure out how to like orchestrate and arrange. So that's happening, which I'm very excited for. And yeah, but then at the same time, I'm still trying to find out what exactly is that live thing. And I know it's beatboxing for sure, and it's storytelling and dance and movement and upbeatness and excitement. So each show is like a new way of finding out what that sweet spot is and what brings me fulfillment and brings the listener and the you know other people enjoyment.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Fresh guy, fresh suit, looking kind of cute. Fresh guy, fresh suit.
We can have a late night. I'd rather hang with you. We can have a date night. Taking in the view at the break of daylight. When I'm waking up with you, making every day right. Come on. And we can drive through the city. Always feeling good when you're with me. Then maybe hit the club or pub. Have a drink poured up. Baby, you know that I'm down to get silly.
Pretty, fresh car, fresh suit. Damn, we be looking kinda cute. Come on, you know that I like this. And I can tell that you like this, like this. Feeling kinda cute. Fresh car, fresh suit.
Chill, cook food and stay in. Hook up the VR that we are playing. Maybe read a book under moonlight, baby. New from the first look, you my lady.
And I love you like the way I do. And I love you every day I do. We can at the lake when the place for two on me, baby. You can just say I do. Come on, fresh car, fresh suit. Damn, we be looking kinda cute. Come on, you know that I like this. And I can tell that you like this, like this. Feeling kinda cute.
As far as not to dwell on sort of what your live show is, but like, do you have how different, I guess, is your set from say a solo looping show to a show where you have other musicians playing, you got drums and everything else? I mean, are you doing basically the same material, just an altered version of it, or is it completely drastically different what you're doing sort of when you're just solo looping versus like, are there certain, I guess, parts of your set that transfer over into the different formats?
Mm. Yeah, there's definitely some overlap. There's also like severe, like insane differences.
I believe
the spoken word one. Yeah, the spoken word one. I've written poetry before. Like I mean, songs are poems, right? So especially like in rap, it's rhythm and poetry.
Sure.
So some of my more softer poems and poetry and spoken word parts, I'll like felt comfortable doing. I'm like, it's all good. I'll just do this here. I can't play sax, and you know, I play keys a bit, but when I would loop, it would be mostly beats,
yeah,
like beatboxing and bass. I can hum bass lines. So I would like hum bass lines, beatbox, and then vocals. And so that's like all you're getting musically. And then vocals on and like lyrics on top. So, you know, the songs can carry over. It's just, there's a fuller sound. There's chords, there's more instruments, there's solos, there's,
yeah, of course.
But I think ultimately I'm learning. It's like, it's all sort of around me and my voice and beatboxing and my songs, like my lyrics. So
yeah.
That's sort of the root. And then it just gets flavored and dressed up and splashed in different ways.
Sure. So, I mean, with the time, if people listen to this at the time it comes out, the Jazz Fest thing is sort of right around the corner. But how does someone hear you? You know, someone could hear this a year from now. Show's already over. You have new music coming out, if I'm not mistaken. So how does someone hear your stuff? Where do they find you? What's the best way to listen to what you're doing if someone is hearing you for the first time maybe on here and want to find out more?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to beatalks.ca and get buy the vinyl or get the music from the source. But obviously with streaming, I'm everywhere on, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, you name it. So all that goes, under Beatalks, so BEATOX. And yeah, there's the most recent record has been a long time because it's been a long time since I've released a record, and it was sort of written during COVID times. So it's really been a long time since I'd connected with friends, and that's sort of the themes of that album. And then there's A Musical Mind and I can't remember the other one. A Beatox Experiment, which is with the Jazz Players for the first time.
Okay.
So those are the three records that I have that I can think of right now.
People should go to the website, right? To find if there's any other ones. There may be some you've forgotten.
Exactly.
Cool. And then as far as upcoming shows and things like that, I assume the website's probably a good place to check. Social media, are you easy to find
there? Yeah, I'm on Instagram. I'm probably the most active. TikTok as well, and I guess YouTube. But Instagram, same thing, Beatox. I think it's an underscore at the end. And that's the thing I'm most active on. So you can find out about all upcoming shows, tours, releases, videos, all the cool stuff I'm trying to get up to.
Cool. And have you found a community at all for beatboxing in Winnipeg? Like, are there, there's got to be other people doing it, right? But is there... do you guys hang out at the coffee shop or something? is there like an underground community of people who are like doing this stuff together or separately?
You know what? I'm not totally sure, because as much as I beatbox and I use beatboxing in my music, I don't know that many beatboxers, and the community is quite small, and at times I almost like, I don't consider myself a beatboxer, but like there's, I'm not a battler. There's beatbox battles.
Right.
That's like, I feel like where the community kind of exists. I don't think a lot of people view it as like this musical expression and way of integrating it with musicians. So I feel like this beatbox battling, which I never got into because I was not a battle rapper, not a battle beatboxer. It's just not, I don't see music as a battling experience. It's a collaborative, peaceful, like positive and, enforcing things. So, but there, I have, and not in Winnipeg, but I went to the UK and met like one of the most brilliant beatboxers, Kimmy Beatbox, and they introduced me to some other beatboxers in the UK. So there's scenes there, and they're more collaborative.
Cool.
But in Winnipeg, I don't really know as well. I think I've only met one or two other like Canadian beatboxers who are really like kind of doing things musically in that way.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense that you're doing it more as a composition tool is almost not what the most common way of approaching it is. Because I think that there's, I think I've seen videos of people doing the battles, and it's really cool. But it's definitely a different approach than what you've been describing for sure.
Yeah. But I do try to encourage. I've taught like a bunch of like elementary schools, and
that's awesome. Yeah, they would love that.
Yeah, and like I try to try to teach it and show it, like, yeah, in that other light and say, hey, like, if you're trying to learn music, learn how to, like, what are beats and how do you keep a tempo internally too. And so I find it's like a really great tool for like getting into music and getting into even production and stuff.
Yeah,
so
sure,
there's a lot of great tools for it. So I'm like slowly trying to like maybe create a bit of a, you know, community bit by bit by like teaching kids. Maybe like 10 years, we'll see like a huge rise of me posters.
We'll see.
I'm learning how to live it up. Learning how to give without giving it up. Yeah, we only get one life, so we better get it done right. I'm learning how to live it up. Learning how to give without giving it up. Yeah, we only get one life, so we better get it done right. Imagine me, you, live and direct. Driving, just stay vibe in your head. Don't try to chill or lie in your bed. Nah, beats too fire, get you fired up instead. Now quit thinking about life like we even know. In a different continent just a week ago. Creating content, built to make your speakers blow. Maybe make you lose your mind and then see it so. Understandably crazy with all I'm doing. Everything's abusive, the music that I'm producing. Ain't it ironic, I'm teaching the institution. Cause I'm insane, well maybe it's a solution. It's great minds, yeah, they think alike. We stay awake, create every night. The flow state feels very light, almost very light. Kinda terrifying, like you're scared of heights. Writer's block paralyzed, like a pair of eyes. Woo, staring with you there alive, and in paradise. But when you're getting through it all, then it's very nice. Bit of hard work in a paradise. Learning how to live it up. Learning how to give without giving it up. Yeah, we only get one life, so we better get it done right. I'm learning how to live it up. Learning how to give without giving it up. Yeah, we only get one life, so we better get it done right. You see, I come from a kind of nation where music is a love and love is a conversation. Beat talks on the mic, perfect combination. I fell in love from the first show. I say my lines by the verse full. I should be signed from the first note. This love is universal. Cause where I'm from, life is difficult. It's quite typical to still be cold even with the winter coat. So come on in and then bring it close. And let me show you who loves you the most. And then go run, tell your friends that when you hang with me, weekend never ends. We keep it real right until the end. Yeah, straight lines, yeah, we never bend. I'm learning how to live it up. Learning how to give without giving it up. Yeah, we only get one life, so we better get it done right. I'm learning how to live it up. Learning how to give without giving it up. Yeah, we only get one life, so we better get it done right. I'm learning how to live it up. Learning how to give without giving it up. Yeah, we only get one life, so we better get it done right. I'm learning how to live it up. Learning how to give without giving it up. Yeah, we only get one life, so we better get it done right.
Do they, I imagine they must respond to it well, right? Like, I mean, I got kids, they're older now, but I imagine they would like just have totally been all about that in elementary school.
Yeah, no, they, yeah, it's the teacher is like laughing because they're like, wow, I've never seen our class. Like, just so, you know, I think some kid had even like researched ahead of time before I came and was like, I know. Yeah, no, kids love it. It's really engaging. I've taught it like remotely, like over Zoom, like even some Slovenian kid who I met. Yeah, and like, so yeah, I love, you know, even our, his English was pretty broken, but we could communicate a bit. And then, but teaching him like that circular breathing thing was like really special, where all of a sudden I have this like kid who's sort of essentially dipping his toes into like meditation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was really special. And I was like, huh, there's more to this than just, you know, making sounds and being musical. There's like a meditative grounding essence to it, which is cool. And I'm like learning more and more about its capabilities.
Well, and that fits in with very much with the sort of chill vibe you were describing too, that almost neo-soul-y, you know, jazz hip-hop influence that for sure fits with that just relaxing and yeah, meditative.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, when I heard Kimmy beatbox, so this was for like this thing in the UK, I went to like demonstrate how to use that microphone. And their beatboxing was like UK garage, like,
yeah, yeah.
I was like, whoa, right? That's like so much high energy and like, yeah. So it's cool just seeing like, yeah. I'm such a yeah. I definitely am like a pretty chill beatboxer because I'm a fairly chill guy. And then to see the like more energetic styles of people expressing their beatboxing in like very different ways. It was really really cool experience to see. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. So what are the details on the Jazz Fest show?
Yeah, so it's Saturday, June 22nd. It's the final day.
Yeah.
I'm hitting at 6 p.m. Yeah, got a super stellar set of musicians here and got an hour of original music that's mostly from the new album, some older tunes, some unreleased stuff that I'm working on. Did a track with Diaphne and Len Bowen.
Cool. Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Just been kind of... Yeah, I've been sitting on that one for a bit, and that one's like a good tune, and yeah, that's the Jazz Fest one. It's at the Cube, at the
old Market Square.
Yeah, and yeah, it should be a really fun time. I'm just like really excited to lean into this project and keep like honing in on how it will be live. It's like I said, I've been working on the album for like 4 or 5 years, but it's never been performed fully, so. This would be
great,
a cool experience.
Great place to do it. I mean, if you're going to do it anywhere, right? Jazz Festival, Market Square is a pretty good spot to try it out.
Yeah, and yeah, that space is really great. The Park Theater, obviously, for indoor spaces, I really like the Park because the sound there is pretty stellar. And that's where I learned about one specific, I don't have it on me, but a specific beatboxing mic. The sound guy was like, try this. And I was like, what? And I remember Ron Hoofloof was like, dude, what was that beatbox mic? Like, your scratching sounded nuts and like whatever. So it's always had a special place in my heart. And then we get to go to Saskatoon, which I've never been west of Winnipeg with my music.
Cool.
You know, I've been east of Slovenia, but not
it's
west.
It's pretty far
of
east. Yeah.
So we're playing Saskatoon Jazz Fest July 9th. And that's really like, for me, I'm like, whoa, that's like a bit of a milestone to just like, get out of the province. Go with a couple guys and try some new stuff as well there.
Awesome. We'll be right back.